Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Hello and welcome back, all of our goodly friends, for another exciting episode. Josh, what have you got for us today?
Today, my friend, we're going to be talking about Ouija boards.
Ouija boards.
Or as some people will read it as Ouija boards.
Ouija boards.
Ouija boards, my friend. Now, Ouija boards are very split in the world.
Definitely.
Some people believe in them, some people don't.
Yeah.
And I done some research yesterday. And I'm getting better at this research thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I took your advice on the notepad, I've done quite well. I've filled up 2.5 pages
today. I
think today.
It's definitely better than you crouching over looking at your phone and mumbling into the microphone.
And getting
you
things
in the
wrong
order.
You
don't have to hide your notepad at the back either. I mean, if you pop it there, you'll be sort of looking towards the camera,
yeah,
as you're
then,
reading.
Some people will see my terrible handwriting, and
don't worry about it. They're here to listen to your lovely voice, not look at your handwriting.
ASMR. So, what do you know about Ouija boards, Pirate?
Now, not actually a hell of a lot. I know that Ouija board is the brand name for it. I don't know what it was like originally called, but as we all call them, Ouija boards. Ouija was the company that sort of brought it to the forefront.
Yes,
but Ouija is the brand name rather than like the actual name of the. Wasn't it like a game or something when it first came out? It wasn't actually necessarily to contact dead people, like we all assume it is today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, kind of. So it actually traces back to the Chinese dynasty.
Chinese? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
In 1100 AD.
Wow.
But they called it a practice called Fuji.
Okay.
So it wasn't known as Ouija back then.
It was Fuji. A Fuji board.
Yeah, Fuji board. So that was the first thing I found in my research about where it originally came from. That's the earliest I could find.
Okay, yeah.
So then we fast forward to the actual thing known as Ouija, and it's invented by an American called Elijah Bond.
Elijah
Bond.
Yeah.
On July 1st, 1890. Now,
right.
It was first made in Baltimore, Maryland, and this is very interesting, right? So I tried to find out where the name came from. Of Ouija, because it's odd.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You just pull out a few Scrabble pieces from the bag and just go, there, yeah, I'll do.
Well, this is the weird thing. So Elijah Bond, who made the Ouija board, it's also referred to as a spirit board or a talking board.
Talking board, I think that's the one I've heard of.
So that's what they were originally called. And he then sold the rights and the pattern to a guy called, I'm looking at my notes, and I can't, William Fold.
Okay.
F-U-L-D, Fold, Fold, Fold.
So Elijah never really sort of made a profit from it himself, then he sold off the
Yeah, not the at design. All. He sold it off 11 years later in 1901.
Okay,
so this guy, William Fold, he's a bit of a con artist in a way. So I think I can say that because I don't think he's around anymore. If it's 1901,
bit of a rogue was he?
Yeah. So he got the rights for the Ouija board, and then when people were asking him where it came from and what's the origin of this, he then said that he took full credit for it to start off with.
As
so
you do,
apparently he didn't buy this from Elijah. He took full credit. Obviously, that got disproved. And he then said Ouija comes from the Egyptian term for good luck. That's not true.
Oh, is it not? Oh,
no. So then this is the funny part to it, where it's like he keeps changing his story.
Okay. Right.
So then he then changes it and says it's a combination of German and French for the word yes. That's also not true.
Well, oui is yes in French.
Yeah.
And ja in German.
Yeah.
Oui ja?
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
No.
So the actual name Ouija comes from when Elijah Bond used the Ouija board and asked the ghost what this is called, what they were doing, and the ghost spelt out Ouija.
Oh!
That's where it comes from.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah, which I thought was quite interesting.
So it's actually got quite a paranormal name, really, then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Because there's not much, I can't think of anything as weird as Ouija with those letters in that order. It just looks, it doesn't look how it's said in a way, does it? But I should just say what a Ouija board is for people that don't know.
Why is it pronounced Ouija when it's spelt Ouija?
I couldn't tell you.
There's nothing to say why it's pronounced so differently to how it's spelt.
No, nothing at all. That's basically where I got the information of where it came from and why it's called Ouija.
Okay.
Ouija. You got me saying that. Ouija. I'm getting confused. What is it?
Ouija.
So for those that don't know, a Ouija board, also known as a spirit board or a talking board, is usually made of wood, but it can be plastic these days. And there is all the letters of the alphabet for the Latin alphabet, so A to Z. It's also accompanied by numbers 0 to 9, and will always have a yes and a no. But sometimes, occasionally, there's hello and goodbye.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's symbols as well. So like the odd pentagram or a Christian
that's
cross.
That's probably just to make it look spookier, though.
Yeah.
Rather than actually being a functional image or
I imagine so. And with the Ouija board, you've also got something called a planchette, which is heart shaped, which is usually wood and plastic as well, or plastic. And that is the movable indicator to spell out messages during a seance by the dead people. So Ouija board is trademarked by Hasbro.
Game company.
I thought Hasbro created it, but they didn't. They just have, like, still to this day, they just have the trademark for Ouija. And like you said, it started off as entertainment and like a game, like a board game, child's game kind of thing. And it didn't really stay that way. So I need to refer to my notes so you might hear some pages. I'll do it as quiet as possible. So, it's obviously in America it was created. Now, it was first popularized by someone called Pearl Curran. Now, this sounds silly, but I couldn't find out whether Pearl Curran was male or female. It doesn't say.
Well, you would assume with a name like Pearl, it would be female.
A woman. Yeah.
But I've met blokes called Lindsay, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, you just never know, do you?
Mm. But it was popularised during World War One.
Oh, okay.
That was when it started getting popular.
Yeah, well, I suppose if it was released in 1901, and then, yeah, about 15 years later, it would just be about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it was also, I've got my notes here in the wrong order, but...
Again?
Yeah, I know. It's because as I was doing research, I was finding out more, like, you can see the arrow where I'm like, link this back to this bit, because I was finding more and more information about it. But I just want to find the bit where it says about the, after the American Civil War. So...
The Civil War?
Yes, yes. The American Civil War, which... I can't find it. It was...
Surely that was before the Ouija board was created.
Ah, yes.
It?
So, here we go. Spiritualists capitalized on the Ouija boards after the American Civil War ended in 1865 to contact dead relatives. So, this is much later. People were using Ouija boards to contact people from 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So it was kind of that thing where there was lost hope and I want to speak to this person. And then spiritualists were capitalizing using the Ouija board, saying, oh, I can get in contact with your dead relatives from the American Civil War, from World War One, stuff like that. So then it progressively got like that. But this is where it's divided with Ouija boards, because if you speak to any scientists or there's science involved, they do not believe in it.
No, it's just a plank of wood with etchings in it or letters burned into it, isn't it, as far as they're concerned? How can a piece of wood be paranormal or have paranormal properties?
Yeah.
But would you say that it's the actual board itself that has these properties, or the people using it, like the people who touch the planchet? Because everybody gathers around, don't they, and they touch the planchet.
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle, or glass. You can use a glass in its place, kind of, if you don't have the planchet. And, you know, is it the energy going through the people that makes it paranormal? Because there's nothing paranormal about a piece of wood, is there?
This is where it gets interesting. So a lot of it has to do with the setting as well.
Okay.
So a lot of people with a seance will light candles, dark room.
Yeah,
and
it
creates that creepy vibe, which then makes you nervous. So then you might not be able to actually feel it, but your hands will get clammy and tingly and your nerves, and you're a little bit jolty.
Yeah.
And scientists say it's like unconscious movements. So
right,
when
people
have their hands in the middle of the
table, and they're all saying, no, I'm not moving it, but like unbeknownst to them, their subconscious is telling them, your hand needs to go there and there and there.
And they call it,
excuse me,
a psychophysiological phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did I say that word
yes,
right?
Yes, you did, yeah, yeah.
known as the, I got a good word, and then this one.
Idiomotor effect.
Idiomotor effect. So it's like involuntary just doing it.
Yeah, like you say, your subconscious is the psychophysiological phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Your like, if you'd asked a question, is that you, Mum? You know, your subconscious, you might be hoping, oh, yeah, I hope it is my mum.
Yeah.
And your subconscious is moving the planchet over to the yes sign, even though you're convinced that it's not you that's doing it.
Yeah.
Your motor functions have kind of been taken over by your subconscious, and it's just going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what scientists believe.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I watched a documentary on Amazon about Ouija boards.
Right.
And they done several experiments. I cannot think what it's called, because I'm just telling a story. It's not in my research. But it was a couple of years ago. And I think they done like 18 tests, different people, different settings, different rooms. And every single one of them, they had a zoomed in camera with a glass table.
Mm-hmm.
And every single scenario showed someone subconsciously pushing it.
Right.
If not, it didn't move at all. So it was one or the other. It was slowly moving, and you could kind of pinpoint the person not doing it on purpose, you know, or the thing just kind of sat there and everyone was kind of looking at each other like, what are we waiting for? So maybe the scientists are right there. But interesting with the scientists as well, in 2012, they done a study and they found that the questions that were just yes or no answers got a quicker response with the Ouija board than if they were trying to spell something out.
Well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it was, they were saying how the subconscious was quicker to react to yes
just an instant rather than actually delivering information. Mm-hmm. It's quicker to just respond yes or no. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
And particularly because, like I say, when you've got multiple people touching the planchet, there's potentially multiple people that are actually controlling it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you've got someone over here trying to spell the name Dave and someone over there trying to spell the name Sue, there's going to be a battle going on.
Get out of my head, pirate, because that was my next point.
Oh, sorry.
So, no, it's good. It's good that you bring that up. So the scientists also worked out that the people subconsciously moving the planchet were reflecting their own kind of memory. So an example I'll give you is if there's a woman whose husband died in a car crash and his name is Bob, like you say, she will subconsciously be trying to push the word to
Bob,
be,
spell Bob.
Spell
yeah,
Bob.
Robert, yeah.
But like you say, someone else might want to spell something else. So then eventually, there's been situations with scientists where there's just random letters just spelling out nothing.
Yeah. Because,
and then someone else in the room will go, oh, well, that might refer to the street I live. That's almost three letters out of the street I used to live. Oh, that might be my Auntie Margaret. And they found that it doesn't matter what they did. If you're susceptible to it, they would find a situation to attach themselves to the Ouija board.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, I mean, I know this is a whole different topic that we probably cover at a different time, but like the psychic mediums, you know, the fake ones, really, you know, where they'll search for questions, they'll put forward little points, just generic things, you know, until the people who are paying them for this go, oh, yeah, my Uncle Bob. It could be my Uncle Bob. Oh, yeah, I'm getting a strong reading of the name Robert. Yeah, it's definitely Robert. Yeah, that could be your Uncle Bob, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they fish for it. And I think the same probably goes on with Ouija boards. If you're not really getting a clear answer, someone's going to go, oh, I really want my dead dog to come back and, you know.
They done it with South Park done an episode covering it where it was really clever where I can't think of the American's name. He would have plants in the audience, but if he didn't have plants, he was able to do that thing. So he would just be channeling generic information. So he'd be like, oh, I'm getting the letter M. And then someone would go, oh, my mum, Mary. And they're like, oh, and then they'll ask generic questions. Like, oh, I'm guessing it was a sad death. And it's, well, obviously, do you know what I mean? Like,
she quite a portly woman? No, she was thin. That's actually what I was thinking, yeah.
That's exactly how it goes. And it's like, oh, right. So, Christian and Catholic beliefs have warned against using Ouija boards for fear of demon possession.
Right.
Which we've obviously seen in horror films, The Exorcist, 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of horror films that use Ouija boards. But they could be right. They could be wrong.
Who knows? I believe I said in a previous episode, I'm 50-50 on Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think the scientists have got a good, you know, there's a good theory there. But also, like, the spiritualists and stuff who insist that it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much split 50-50. But I do always think, and I think I said this in the last episode, that if you bring something from the other side using that Ouija board into your realm, you got to know how to send it back.
Yeah, because you don't want to be haunted for the rest of your life.
No, it's either going to attach itself to the place or to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want either, really.
No, so. Definitely not. I would not want a demon in my house.
No.
So the opposite of the kind of religious beliefs of don't use a Ouija board, occultists say it's a positive thing and can create positive transformations for people. Now, I'm not really too sure what an occultist is, if I'm honest, so maybe you can explain if you know.
I
probably should have Googled it as part of my research.
Probably. An occultist, I guess, is like a medium, and, you know, people who very much believe in that sort of, they've got gifts from the other side or something like that. Or maybe they just study it. The occult is generally the sort of... the dark spirits and, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, so like a medium just dealing with that realm of kind of thing.
Yeah, and a medium would fall into the category of an occultist, I would say.
Okay, that makes sense. Because, well, I should say that back in the day, I'm very split as well. I'm 50-50. And after doing the research, I'm still kind of 50-50.
Oh, because it's not actually put you in a definite direction on this.
No, not at all, because I've got... The scientists saying it's not plausible, it doesn't work, you know, they'd give it a zero. Nonsense. Mm-hmm. But then from my own experience growing up stuff, my mum has used one of these when she was younger and she swears by it. And she said, you know, the whole lot, it was creepy, doors opening, doors closing, windows, voices, whatever, the whole thing. And she'd still now to this day doesn't like talking about it, and I don't know many details about it, because she said when she even thinks about that time when she was like in her 20s or whatever, she can't get through it.
Gets the bejesus out of her.
Yeah, she doesn't like to think about it. So my mum's a big Jessie anyway, so she doesn't she doesn't like talking about that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know many details about it, but she fully believes in it. So that's why I'm kind of still in the middle, even after doing research on it.
Yeah.
But in 1970, cult members and occultists and sociologists started to use Ouija boards as their kind of rituals, and they were taking it a bit more seriously in 1970. And in 2001, they were burned in New Mexico as a symbol of witchcraft because they believed it was a tool of Satan.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of giving you little facts of over time how... You know, since it was created in 1890...
People have perceived it in different ways and...
Yeah. And there was actually a call for Hasbro to stop making them in the 90s.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
it really got serious. Doesn't surprise me.
But what I love about this is, through time, how it's changed, is nowadays it's now used for pranks and for kind of messing around, which is kind of what it was intended... to at the start.
Yeah.
So it's come full circle.
Yeah, yeah. It's gone back to what it was invented for, even though it's got this really creepy, strange sort of thing about it, you know?
Yeah, which
its reputation precedes it.
Yeah. Yeah, which is quite... Because you think that's quite a lot of time. So 100 years has gone by. So for them 100 years, it was pretty much considered just this horrible spiritual... talk to the dead device. And then nowadays it's almost like a joke, it's entertainment, it's, you see it in films, you know, you hear it in songs, whatever it is, and it's a lot more considered light-hearted these days rather than serious.
So.
Even though I'm sure there's still people out there that use it for talking to the dead, and
I'm sure there are, there's plenty of people that are going to believe in these things, you know, full heartfelt, yes, I know it, that, you know, particularly people who have experiences like your mum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when as soon as you've had some kind of experience like that, it's going to affirm it in your own brain, and that you're never going to believe anything else.
Yeah.
And you're probably more likely to go back and use it again and again and again. And it would be interesting to see if those people get the results that they're expecting or not.
Yeah. Like, I've always wanted to do a Ouija board. And then when I spoke to my mum about it when I was like 14, 15, she was like, nope, certainly not. Not happening. And then that's when I found out that she'd done it when she was younger. And then it kind of put me off, where I was like, you know, my mum never lies or anything. Like, why, you know, if she's saying it's evil and it's terrible, I just believe her, you know? So,
yeah, I think I've never done a Ouija board myself. I think probably that's because my parents were very, very religious, and they were kind of the same, like, no, it's don't go near them. They're, you know, they're bad news and that sort of thing, particularly with my dad being like a religious minister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd have been very happy when I was a teenager if I'd have gone home and go, hey, Dad, I used a Ouija board last night.
Yeah.
And now I've got some ghost called Derek following me around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. They say that Ouija boards, if you do manage to get to the other side and people believe in spirit, mm-hmm. bad spirits and demons and things, it follows the person, not where you have the seance.
Yeah,
so I think it attaches itself to a person, which is why you hear of stories of people having haunted houses. They'll move 300 miles away and then they're still haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be the house. It's got to be...
Generally, that attaches to people. In fact, we could link back to the book, The Vertical Plane, about what that said about, poltergeist activity that mm-hmm. was going on in there. And the technical explanation within that was that it's... A sort of a psychoactive thing, a psychokinetic product, isn't it? That's generally transmitted from children. I think it was like 89% girls or something like that, teenage girls that generally had these experiences. Now, mm-hmm. that was explained as very much a scientific phenomenon, but I still think that if there is something to it, you know, there is an actual spirit following somebody.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's going to manifest itself in a similar way anyway.
Yeah. But it's still, I'm still 50-50 on it. And,
yeah.
But I have got some interesting little facts for you.
Go on.
Just
then.
Quick, it won't take long. So I was Googling, like I like to do, I like to kind of bring a little bit of pop culture into our podcast.
So all we got celebrities or bands? Or,
okay. Right, so... There's not many celebrities. Well, there's a few, but they're so old and right. no one's heard of them. I've just gone for the names that I recognise. So I've just got three for you.
Okay, go on then.
Now, Morrissey, he had a song called Ouija Board in 1989.
Right. What was that, complaining about Ouija boards or something, was it?
I'm not even going to do a Morrissey impression because it's terrible. But
my Ouija board... It's broken now, I'm sad.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine all of his songs kind of sound like Ouija boards. Like, they're all just miserable. but one that I personally recognised with was, there was a band when I was emo back in the day.
Yeah.
There was a band I loved called Mars Volta. Still love them now.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
unbelievable. Really, really good. And their whole album, Bedlam and Goliath, is allegedly... through their use of a Ouija board.
Oh.
Now, if you listen to that album, it's nuts. It's genius, but it's nuts.
So what, did they literally spell out every lyric with a Ouija board?
It's based on their experiences with a Ouija board.
Oh, okay. So, like, they'd have a little seance and write a song about whatever sort of happened in that seance.
Yeah, I have to say allegedly. Because it's not been confirmed, but that's what the research said. Allegedly, that album was through a Ouija board. Now,
that's
this one...
Cool. I like that.
I thought that was cool, especially because I'm a fan of the Mars Volta. I was like, I hope that's true.
Yeah,
because
that
would make so much more sense with their music.
Yeah.
But the other one, I had to Google this guy, and I've put in brackets, he was an occultist, a poet, a painter, and a novelist. Because I didn't know who he was, but I recognised the name.
The creative type person.
Yes.
Yeah.
A master of all trades, as they say.
Is that jack of all trades. Master of none.
Yeah, that's the one. Master of trades. Jack on them none. Yeah, that one. You know the one. Aleister Crowley.
I've heard that name. I don't know where from. Hmm.
That's the thing. I didn't know. I Googled it and that's all it tells me. A little fun fact about Aleister Crowley. He tried to start a religion called Thelema.
Okay, I don't think I've heard of that.
No, it didn't take off. Anyway, Aleister Crowley, this guy who's the jack of all trades, master of none, he is known for using Ouija boards, which played a big part in all of his work. So his paintings, his poems,
okay.
And he was a big advocator of using Ouija boards and said it was good for inspiration and things like that.
Fair enough.
But yeah. I think he's quite an old guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure I recognise the name Aleister Crowley. I'm not sure where from, though.
There's probably some Aleister Crowley, like, artsy-fartsy fan out there that's, like, screaming. And it's like, how do you not know who he is?
Yeah, I don't know. Either that or it's from, a 42 video on YouTube that I've watched. I don't know.
So that's pretty much all I could find on Ouija boards. There's a little bit of history there, a little bit of just how I kind of feel about it. And it's, I'm still 50-50, mate.
You're still 50-50.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion on it.
So I'm a little surprised that you didn't sort of go and try one as part of your research.
Well.
Or you chicken?
Yeah, definitely. I watch a ghost video on TikTok and then I can't sleep for 2 days. Like, imagine doing a Ouija board, looking over my shoulder, thinking I'm getting followed by demons. Yeah,
that's the thing. It's that, you, I guess, I don't know, I'd probably be nervous sitting down to do a Ouija board because you never know what's going to come up, do you?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I had a friend of mine back in my hometown who supposedly did a Ouija board, and I don't know how true this story is, but he apparently got in contact with some kind of spirit that told him that he would die when he was 45.
Wow.
I mean, he's only like 22 or something at the time. As far as I know, he's still alive.
Right.
And he's nearly 10 years older than me, and I'm now 42. So I think, you know, it was lying to him. You know, unless he was just embellishing on the story just to make it sound fantastic anyway. I don't know.
I'll tell you what we should do, is we need a real sceptical person to do it for us. Like, my friend Louis doesn't believe in anything we talk about.
Yeah, get him.
We should get him to do it for us because he doesn't believe it anyway. So, do you know what I mean? So that might be a good...
I think getting a sceptical person to do it would probably have a more definitive result than if you or I were to do it, who are like 50-50 on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I think we would be more likely to do that, what was it called, idiomotor phenomenon or whatever. We'd be more likely to manipulate the planchette or the glass than what, say, your mate Louis would, because as a complete sceptic, he'd just be like, it's not moving, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. He'd be the perfect person for it. But one thing about Ouija boards, which I can't work out and I can't research, I can't find anything about it, is there doesn't seem to be a way of separating the good spirits from the bad spirits. It just seems like a open door, and if you believe in it, and there is a spirit,
whatever you attract, mate.
I think
there is no way of separating it, is there? There can't be.
Yeah, because if it was a good spirit, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Like, you could talk to old relatives and stuff, and you could actually have a conversation, and maybe even get certain predictions for the future right, and you could become this phenomenon.
Lottery numbers would be handy, wouldn't
it? But if it's a bad spirit, you don't want it. You just don't.
But then, can you define light and dark in quite that way? Good spirits and bad spirits. People are complicated, complex creatures. You know, our minds and our personalities are complex. Some people might look at you and think, oh, no, he's got tattoos and, you know.
I've been called a thug several times.
Yeah. But, you know, for people who actually know you're such a nice guy.
Ah, cheers, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are times where you've got a nasty side as well. Everybody does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just because you're calling something from the other side, you can't necessarily say, oh, it's good, it's bad. If it got out of bed the wrong side that day, a good spirit could quite conceivably be a little bit grumpy and go, well, why did you call me here? I don't want to answer your questions or, you know, meddle with it.
I have the most nasty side when people don't indicate at roundabouts. That drives me insane. It's the only thing that gets me proper nasty, where I get sudden road rage.
Right.
It's like, just use your indicators. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to go off on a tangent about what makes me angry and nasty. No. But it's simple stuff.
I just wanted to make that distinction that we always say there's good ghosts and there's bad ghosts and the light and dark and stuff. But, I mean, if it is to be believed that ghosts are people from the past, you know, dead people,
mm-hmm.
then people are more complex than that. You don't just literally look at someone and go, he's evil. They're angelic.
I mean,
there's a lot more complexity going on to it.
Look at Ted Bundy, man.
Yeah.
It's a prime example.
Yeah.
Like, so, married, kids, and then look at the stuff he was doing, and nobody had a clue.
Exactly.
So you are exactly right. And I'm not going to say any names because I don't want to, you know, throw anyone under the bus or whatever, but there has been experiences. I'm open to talking about it. But there has been experience with certain drugs where one of my friends, who shall not be named, he'll take mushrooms and he'll have the greatest experience going.
Right, yeah.
Whereas I've done it in the past. I don't advocate it. I don't recommend it or anything. But I'm just saying from my experience.
Magic mushrooms?
Yeah.
Right, go on.
I don't want to promote drugs on the podcast. Okay, No. I'm just saying from my own experience when I was younger, every time I did mushrooms, I had this horrible feeling, this paranoia, this over sense of doom. Like,
everything. Oh, really?
So like you say about light and dark, good and bad.
Yeah.
The exact same drug. Two different people, completely different reactions.
Experiences, yeah, yeah.
So, that's my research on Ouija boards, and that's all I got for you, mate.
So, this is actually going to be quite a taxing one to put to the paranormality scale, isn't it?
It's I'm in the middle.
Tough.
I'm giving it a 5.
I was pretty much thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give it about a 5, because, yeah, I mean, it depends on your experiences. It depends on how high you'd rate it. I'm sure your mum would give it a 9.9.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah, a scientist would give it like 0.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, to be fair to it, we've got to pretty much split it down the middle and just say 5.
Because we haven't done one, I think it's fair. We've got to give it a 5. Right down the middle.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
5 out of 5. Average of 5.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, mate.
Nice one. Well done, buddy.
Cheers, mate. I'm sorry I got my notes in the wrong order for a second.
No, you did well, mate. You done all right, mate. And to have like nearly 3 pages worth of notes is quite impressive. So,
yeah, thanks, mate.
But anyway, that's pretty much the end of the podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it today. If you want to write in with your stories, it's paranormality.uk@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We always love to hear stories. We all love to hear your opinions. We mentioned it in the last episode that we're interested in doing live streams. If you're interested in doing that, give us a like. Subscribe to the channel. It's the easiest way that you can keep up with us.
Yeah. If anyone's got any Ouija board stories, reach out.
Write in. Let us know. You know, we can always revisit this in a live stream or something like that. That's kind of what the live streams are going to be for.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can revisit stuff that and get feedback in real time from the people who enjoy our videos and our podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it for today. I have been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
If you were listening to this podcast whilst waiting for a flight, would you be relaxing in a premium airport lounge? No? Then start your journey with Oneworld, a leading alliance of world-class airlines. Reach top-tier status with a Oneworld member airline's frequent flyer program, and you can enjoy an array of benefits, including priority check-in and boarding, and access to nearly 700 premium airport lounges around the world. Discover more at oneworld.com. Terms and conditions apply.
It's official. Podcast advertising is transcending audio. Marketers can now tap into audiences across all of a creator's channels, from social media to video, live events, and beyond. And Acast's new report proves it works, with 84% of podcast listeners having taken action after seeing brands promoted in a podcast-first omnichannel campaign. Get these insights and more by downloading the full report at podcastpulse2024.acast.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.